This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, welcome back to the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and me.
Hello.
Yay, and he said my name first. And I don't usually think about that, but I have been gone.
You're back.
You have, and it's so good to have you back in your tiny, wonderful peanut solace.
I know, and I'm still, don't worry, I'm here, but I'm not fully here. I have socks on that have rice underneath them.
Why rice?
Well, you know, when you're in the postpartum stage of your life, you don't put shoes on every day. You walk around the kitchen with your socks.
Mm. Right.
Your socks pick up things that shoe bottoms should pick up only.
So you go around carrying food.
Momming.
And these are the socks that I have been wearing since Spotless has been born.
Yeah, those are funky.
They get washed occasionally, but they're cozy.
Are they Sam's socks because they look masculine?
No, actually, these are not. I stole all his and lost all his, and I've just said to start on my own pairs now.
Those are funky brown
and
Mr.
Like
Rogers
socks. They're
totally Mr. Rogers.
My postpartum pants?
Yeah, they're, what are they? You would call them like
bloomers.
Indian
bloomers. The bohemian
okay,
people.
Okay, so guys, right now think of MC Hammer, right?
She's in her Hammer pants.
Yeah, but totally. they're like, aren't they like shiny, like cool black things? These are bohemian. These are hippie. They've got
they're
elephants
bohemian
on
Hammer
them.
Pants.
They have elephants on them. Okay, so today,
yes.
It's going to be a little rabbit trail. Let's just say up front, right? It's going to be a little rabbit trail. Next week, there's going to be no rabbit trails because we're going to do one on intermittent fasting.
Yes.
So
and then after,
on point.
Yeah, on point. And then we have some more on pointers, like on point parties that we're planning. We're actually getting prepared.
We are, but
there's no preparation for this one today. Sorry.
No.
Turn it off.
Yeah,
if you're
but
already
as you
upset.
Know,
if
as
you're a hater of our rabbit trails, switch us off right now.
Yeah, but if you've been listening for a while, you know that these rabbit trails lead to the rabbit house, and in the rabbit house are the goods.
Are the goods. Let me turn off this
speaking
phone.
Of rabbit
it's just
trail.
A cousin from the hilltop.
Now today we have story time with Serene. Is that right?
Yes. Story time with Serene, mate.
Okay, but first of all, I've been
but there's
gone.
There's some treasures at the end of this story.
I have been gone because I'm just loving on my baby. Mm. But number two, I've been gone because I was so proud the last time I was here saying, oh, I just live on Baobab and everyone around me has had the flu, but not me, all my family. Mm. We're so pristine and pure and powerful. Well, pride comes before a fall. You can probably hear it a little bit in my voice. I ran out of Baobab and I just got busy with taking care of the baby and I wasn't really like making good salads and meals. I was just like shoving nuts and cheese down my
gullet.
You
were cheesy bready, right?
Yeah, I was cheesy bready.
Cheesy
it was
bready.
Just like survival.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, baby's crying, she's got colic, she's spewing up. Just another handful of cheese will help. Yeah. I came down with the flu. Well, my whole family came down with it first, my children, you know, who are running out in the cold and they don't know they're miserable and cold and they get the flu.
I need to turn mine off.
Turn your jolly phone off. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, peeps.
Anyway, we all had the flu. So that was, there's 12 of us living in the house. So we were all coughing.
No,
hacking.
Sam didn't get it.
No, Sam didn't get
it. And I just want to announce to everybody right here, Pearl never got the flu.
But don't be so
Dan
pompous, Pearl. Guess why?
Dan never got it. But you don't live on the hilltop. The flu went through the hilltop,
don't
Dan.
Don't think Pearl's so holy that she didn't get the flu. She didn't come near me. She called me filthy guts and wouldn't come near me filthy guts while
she
I had the flu.
She was so filthy in my mind. I didn't want to be any, like, even 100 yards was too close.
She was talking to me on the phone because she thought my filthy Luger could come and jumper.
I support that. You know, sometimes we'll have friends, you know, and they have kids and they're like, hey, we were going to drop by. And, I never say it because I don't want to be a spaz. But inside I'm like, I wonder how many of your 18 kids might have some deathly.
18.
Because most of our friends have lots of kids. And, oh, no, they were sick last week.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's Serene.
Yeah, but it's fine. I'm like, oh, really? You've medically come to the conclusion and you know that there is not a chance.
That was Serene on Sunday because she's like, no, we're all better, Pearl. We're coming to Hilltop Church, right? And so I'm like, Serene, are you sure? She's like, yeah, Solis and I are great. So she's like, as soon as I see her, she comes up and talks real close talking.
Oh.
Hi, Pearl.
Sick people have to close talk. That's the rule.
Pearl, it was so funny, Pearl. We're not like a Pentecostal church that way, but it was like I was about to slay her in the spirit or something because she kept walking backwards and walking backwards and walking backwards.
And Serene would keep coming into my personal zone. Come on, Pearl. And she'd get right in there like she's going to slay me in the spirit. Have you ever seen that? Remember in the old days? Oh, okay. Yeah. You weren't in the Pentecostal churches.
Totally.
Where you get prayed for and you fall down.
You fall down.
You have to. If you don't fall down, they push you.
If you don't fall down, you didn't receive, Danny.
I almost fought a guy, but that's another story. Please continue. A preacher was trying to shut me down.
Girl was doing that walk back trick with me, you know?
And she was like the preacher that I wasn't receiving her spirit.
Yeah, the spirit of the filthy flu luger.
But this is really rabbit trail. So keep there. Serena's incredible story.
Okay, so we were all sick. Yes. We were all hacking. Was there any hope for baby Solly?
That's poor her nickname, Solly. People. She was Solly only Dolly. 5 weeks when she got the flu. Was it four?
Five.
Five.
No, it was four.
Four.
It was four
weeks
when she got it. It was so Flu-by. Sad. And I tell you what, this thing was so... She went from the most perfect happy baby to just wearing a furrow on her brow. It was so bad. Okay, so we were good little children, and we called our pediatrician and we tried to get the soonest appointment, but that couldn't be for like 3 or 4 days. And so we read the internet. We did all that worried parenting, and you do the internet read and you realize that you got to take your baby in. You know, anything under 2 months, any kind of, you know, cough or hack or whatever, you got to take them in. So we decided we're just going to go to the emergency room after a couple of days of her being miserable. And I just went with my daughter and we went in, and she wasn't really that bad off at that time. She just, you could tell she had a cold. I didn't even think it was a flu. I thought, oh, this is a cold. So all I wanted was for the doctor to put the stethoscope on her little lungs and tell me if they're full of junk.
Right.
I wanted maybe like a temperature taken, and maybe you put that little light thing on their toes and it tells you.
Because you've been down this road a million times.
Yeah, it tells
times.
You if they've got good oxygen coming into their lungs and what their heartbeat is, and you know that she's just doing good. Nothing. The first question I got asked was, so are you up to date on all your immunizations? Now, this party is not against immunizations. Hey, people, if you immunize and you're listening, more power to you. You're making those decisions because you love your baby.
Right.
Right. We all are not immunizing or not immunizing because we're trying to kill our children.
No.
We're trying to save our children.
Or trying to make points
so
on social media.
So more power to the people who are trying to love their children and they're doing it the way that they want to do it.
Yeah,
okay?
No emails, please, about this. So.
We've chosen to not to, Sam and I, because of just from research we've done. But we're doing it because we love our children, okay? Mm-hmm. So he asked me this question. Are you up to date on your immunizations? I said, oh, we choose to not immunize. Now, this is 2018, people. At least now in this recent years, people know it's at least controversial.
Yeah.
And so normally when I'm asked that question, I get, oh, yeah, sorry,
support.
Ma'am. We just
support.
Have to ask. Have to ask. Well, I got, excuse me, would you repeat that? I had to repeat it to him. So I said, oh, yeah, we choose not to immunize. He almost spat on the floor. And he looked at me like, so were you immunized? And I said, no, my mom chose to not immunize me either. He looked at me again like I was some filthy gutter squalor who had this baby like to another gutter squalor, and we made a gutter squalor baby. He looked at me like, and from then on, maybe that's why he didn't put a stethoscope on. He was like, I can't touch this zombie.
Touch.
So straight away he said, okay, well, we'll have to get blood work. We'll have to stick a catheter into her, put an IV and we'll get the chest x-ray machine in, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, hold on. I can't go there. I said, I just want you to just like put the good old fashioned hospital stethoscope on her.
Yes.
And he walks out of the room and I said, oh, I'm just going to call my husband. I said to Sam, I can't do this. The last three babies we had, you know. Because they were born a little early, I just tend to go early. They weren't quite ready, and they had respiratory issues, and they had to go to the NIC. They were NIC babies, and you know what happens in the NIC. It's not fun. It's not nice for newborns. I said to Sam, I cannot see a needle be poked into her. A catheter, that's the worst, most painful thing in the world. I'm not doing that to my baby. She's just got a little cough. He's like, nah, you know, you just walk out of there. So I said to the nurse, I said, what do you think? The nurse said, she looks great. Just come back in the morning if it's bad, but you'll do fine. So the doctor came back in with this big written out thing. Sign this piece of paper because you're responsible for her death, sepsis, brain damage, all these things that will happen if you walk on out of here, right?
Wow.
So I had to sign the paper to get out. But then on the whole way home, that's when I did my Pentecostal. I was like rebuking. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, I break anything over my baby for signing that piece of paper to get on out of there. Anyway,
I am not responsible for her death or sepsis. I rebuke it.
No, it's not going to happen in Jesus' name. So anyway, I was being real Pentecostal. You know, you don't touch a she-bear mama.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got home and I'm like, okay, we can make it through the night. And I woke up at like, 4 in the morning to go to the restroom. Too much information, but hey.
Hey, TMI, that's what the potty is all
about. It's all about.
Mm. Again.
Yeah, so I wake up, and usually I pass the baby on to the hubby, and he holds it while I go to the restroom. And she usually screams her jolly head off. It's like, yeah. I'm not in mummy's little arms. I can't take this. This is torture. But she didn't cry at all. And she was, Sam said she was just really kind of, it was just not her normal response of self. So we did a big paranoid parental pizzazz pooper. Like we went, like, get your boots on. No, you get your boots on. Get the keys. Where's the keys? I can't find the keys. Okay. And like you're not even dressed properly. Yeah. Like probably this is why the doctors are treating me like crap, right? Because I'm like dressed like a hooligan street kid. So we're like, we're just like boots aren't zipped up. We're just in our Hello Kitty jammies, you know, we're racing to the emergency room. This was a 90-mile-an-hour trip because she couldn't cry. She couldn't cry. Well, come to find out later, she just lost her voice. I had no voice, so I just didn't think babies lost their voices, but they do.
From crying so much?
No, she just lost
it. It was from the sickness. But so, you sort of gave that away. Keep going.
Yeah, but it was freaky. It was freaky. Right. She couldn't cry. And so, but I think maybe the nerves got to Sam and he had to stop halfway to use the restroom.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, no, you can't go to the restroom. He goes, well, I have to. I'm like, no, this is our baby's life. We had a good old fight, you know, on the way to the hospital. That makes it all better.
Oh, yeah.
And so we rush into the emergency room. But I think the cold air and the cold car,
right.
You know, because it was a freezing night. And even though we turned the heat on blaring, it takes forever to heat up. So by the time we got there, she was doing better. And we get into the room and the doctor said, oh, so what brings you here? And I said, well, you know, our house is filled with the flu. She's just a little baby. I think she's just got a cold, but this is freaking us out.
This is a different emergency
room. Yeah, this is a different. We didn't want to go to the same one with the psycho doctor who thinks I'm filthy squalor, right?
Okay.
So I wanted to
chance. And that you married a filthy squalor.
I wanted to chance that some other doctor thought the way I was dressed, I was still a normal human,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
And I could create a normal human baby.
Right.
So anyway, and not a non-immunized alien.
Right.
So we turn up and he's like, why are you here? And I'm like, well, you know, I think she's got a cold. He's like, you don't know that. She looks fine. Why did you bring her here? I said, I think she's got a cold. Can't you hear? She's coughing and she's got snot running out of nose. You don't know that. He said, she's just probably just learning to breathe.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And I said, I actually didn't say this. I thought, hey, she's not 5 hours old. She's 5 weeks old. I think she knows how to breathe.
She's an expert breather.
Yes. So anyway, it went from a doctor wanting to do everything, catheter, blood work, chest x-rays, everything, no stethoscope, no simple stuff, to this guy saying, just walk out of here. She's fine.
Yeah.
And so he does a few normal things. He sticks her on the oxygen machine and her oxygen's 100%.
Okay.
He doesn't bring out the good old stethoscope, but he put her on the oxygen machine and he's like, she's fine. Just take her home. And I said, but I read the internet. And the internet said, I should be worried 2 months and under. He's like, listen to what you read on the internet. So we're walking out.
Okay.
And all of a sudden he turns around and he starts snapping his fingers in front of Solly's face. He's like, ooh, you're right. There is something really wrong. And I said, well, we didn't think there was anything really wrong. We just thought there was a cold and we wanted to be proactive. You know, we've got an appointment with our pediatrician, but we wanted to be proactive. He's like, no, there's something really wrong. I don't know what it is. I don't even know where to start, but at least we need to have MRIs. I'm going to call Vanderbilt. We need a children's hospital right on this. We're going to get an ambulance and so get ready. And I said, well, we're cash pay. We'll just drive up. We can get there just as fast.
Sure.
And
what did he think was wrong?
He was like, I don't know. I'm not a pediatrician. I don't have any of children myself. But there is something wrong because she should be looking right at me. And I said, she's a newborn and she loves that light behind your head. And she is like so switched
on. Wait, he concluded this because of her focus?
No, because he wanted to get his jillies. He wanted to get like a special convo going and have her smile at him. And he wanted to be like, oh, I'm the big baby
like
doctor.
Like me when I want to submit a cat.
Yes, he wanted to just have like a big, a special moment with the baby.
Oh, and
she wasn't giving it to him.
Well, she wasn't feeling good.
Well, she's a newborn.
Yeah.
She wasn't feeling good. She loved the light behind her. But she, out of even all my babies, is tracking so super, super early. But, you know, babies don't track.
When you want them to all the time.
Well, even up to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, mine do around, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever. But even up to 10 weeks, if you research it, a baby won't perfectly track all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes they even go cross-eyed.
Yeah.
You know, but he's like, there is something majorly wrong. And we're like, so what gives you this knowledge? And he said, no knowledge. It's a gut feeling.
Oh,
so He's like, I'm calling ahead to Vanderbilt. And so he called and gave all this placebo junk that there's something majorly wrong and to at least start with MRIs and she needs major testing. So we went from, she doesn't even have a cold, she's just learning to breathe, to there's something majorly wrong with your baby. He said, I think it's newborn seizures.
Oh,
and we said,
no.
Our baby is seizures. Perfect. She has a cold. So anyway, we were driving up to Vanderbilt and we're like, what are we doing?
And for those of you who don't live in Nashville, Vanderbilt is the major
Children's hospital. Yeah.
We said to
amazing.
Us, we looked at each other and we're like, what are we doing? We're going to walk in there and they're going to be having like the big magnetic, like jumpstart your baby back to life, like waiting for her and all the needles, like waiting to just jab in her.
Needles and electricity are coming.
This terrible call, like this baby is in need of assistance. We don't know where to start, but we've got to start all the tests and we've got to start them now.
Run them all.
We're like, we can't do this. But then we're like, but we have to. Like, if you like, don't bring a newborn in and there's like calls from another hospital to a hospital, maybe DCS will come and take your baby.
They
and
could take your baby.
We were like freaked out. So we're like, well, we got to be smart here. We got to work this out. We thought, well, we'll go straight to our midwife. Good old midwives. Mm-hmm. You know, they come to you any time in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So we arrive at her place at like 5 a.m. and we say, can you get your stethoscope out and just look at her lungs? Because that's all we're worried about. This other doctor's worried about tracking, blah, blah, blah. She's like, there's nothing wrong with the tracking. You know, we went through the whole thing. She checked all the little newborn, you know, you do those things. What do?
Vital sign, like all that.
Their fingernails and stuff.
Well, just do those tests to make sure that they have proper reflexes and that they're not listless and all that stuff. Everything was good. Like neurologically, she was just great. And I knew that already. But and then we decided, we all made this plan that we would go to Vanderbilt, but it would be just like an aftercare pediatric place, you know? But it would be Vanderbilt, but it wouldn't be the Vanderbilt they called.
So we
found out that there was a Vanderbilt after hours pediatric place opening later on that day. So we go all the way back home. We've been awake for hours. And then we wait till later and we go all the way back into Nashville, which is hours away from our home.
Or an hour and a half.
Yeah. And we go in there and we put our name into the information and they're like, oh, you're the Allisons. You've been to this hospital. That we're all in the system.
You have been flagged.
And we have been flagged and we had a lot of calls, missed calls, because we didn't turn up straight away, you know? And they're like, oh, but we're here. We're here at Vanderbilt. We were told to go to Vanderbilt and get a pediatrician to look at her. So a child's doctor. We're here. So anyway, we get this lovely doctor and she's like, do you mind if I just, you know, put this little stethoscope on it? We're like, please. And she's like, do you mind if I just swap a little nostril for the flu? We're like, she's worried that it's too invasive. I said, could you please just swap her nostril?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, you've dialed back from
MRIs and catheters and blood work and craziness. And she swabs her nostrils, comes back 10 minutes later and she said, your baby's got the flu. I'm so sorry. We're like, great, it's the flu. Yeah, like, it's not some neurological brain.
You actually celebrated the flu.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, you know, we did our good little parental thing and watched her so closely and brought her back every day to the pediatrician. And we're just like, you know, we did our thing. But we just learned so much through that whole, you know, First of all, I love doctors. Please, if you're listening, and if you're a doctor, you're married to a doctor, or you've got a son who's a doctor, I love doctors. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm squashed on the road, I want a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I went and had my baby at the hospital. I'm not against hospitals, but I learned a lot about not listening to everything.
Labels too.
Yeah, labels. You know, because if I was a first-time parent, if Sam and I were first-time parents and we hadn't been down this road a few times, I think that we would have been so full of fear. We would have gone down to that Vanderbilt. We would have started the MRIs and all the testings and all the freakouts.
And first of all, someone saying, well, there is something wrong with your baby. There's just something, you know, gut feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge thing to just say over a baby.
I know. It's huge. You know, and also the invasiveness. Why start at all the needles? Why can't you just put a stethoscope on first?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why start with all the high need testing when the symptoms are showing that it's just a cold or a flu?
Yeah.
So we just learned so much about, yes, there's so, balance is always beautiful, no matter in what genre it is. And even with hospitals, you don't go to the other extreme where you never go near a doctor, because
mm-hmm.
that's dangerous too, because,
really,
you know,
is.
God gave people the talent to be physicians and stuff, and they have their place.
Absolutely.
But
I think, though, in this day and age, that place has risen to a place, I mean, agree with me or not, where sometimes that authority is way more than it it should have been.
And it's not every doctor.
It's not.
And it's actually sometimes not the doctors. It's the people giving them a god status.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't do anything without your doctor. And did your doctor sanction that? A doctor is a doctor for your health, but a doctor is not god of your life, you know?
And not every doctor is a good doctor. Sometimes there is an idiot and their brother moron, which I encountered.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah. There are some, you know, as time progresses, there's becoming more and more people with MDs, medical doctors, who are doing things just a little differently. And when we say differently, I actually mean a little old-fashioned, where they start with the most likely, the simple, you know, you probably don't have a freak weird thing happening. You probably have something common. When I was a carpenter, we would do that. We would have to diagnose problems. And often people wanted me to tear out the subfloor and get down in there and start rooting around. And I would just be like, you know, why don't we just try the obvious, most likely? And it was like 99% of the time.
Yes.
Very simple.
Yes.
They didn't have to rebuild their house.
Yeah.
You know, it was a slight repair.
Yeah.
But I think with these days, and it's not, sometimes it's not even the doctor's fault with all the lawsuits and with all the things that they have to cover and they have to rule out.
That's
true. Like they made you sign that thing, Sri. I mean, to cover bases, that's why so much testing is done. And I want to talk about some invasive testing as we go on here. But yeah, go ahead, Sri.
I forgot to tell you, I had to sign that piece of paper twice. Twice.
Oh, so the next one.
And it's not a form. It's actually not a printed out form. The first doctor actually wrote it in his little scribble.
Really?
Wrote all those death, sepsis, brain damage, all of the things. The second thing I think was a printout, but we had to sign it twice.
So you were responsible if any of that happened.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And you know what? It just made me realize, oh my goodness.
Do you not know how to turn off your phone, Serene?
That's Vanjie's children. Anyway, I don't know how to turn off my phone. It's a new phone. Oh, there it is.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. Okay, so the other thing is that it just made me realize, yeah, we have to not just immediately swallow the things that are told to us. We
labels.
Have to, because we don't, like I said, we don't want to go the other way where we stay clear of doctors and hospitals because that's a little bit extreme.
Yeah, that they're not the enemy.
That could lead to great danger.
Yeah.
Totally.
But then the other extreme where you just listen to everything, Solace could have gone through, it could have actually, because she had the real flu, to be stuck with all those needles, to put a catheter in her. She wasn't even wanting to drink at the time because she was so in pain. She had a sore throat. She had laryngitis. I think she could have gone into like, her immune system so much more suppressed during that time when she needed that to fight the flu, and she could have gotten pneumonia or anything because it would have been so emotionally stressful to her.
Absolutely. But labels, and you know, beyond taking it beyond then this little story that you told us, I mean, there's a bigger picture here for all of us. I mean, what have we been told over our lives?
Yeah.
Just because of something looked a certain way or, you know, I mean, a label, well,
diagnosis,
things we've been diagnosed with. And then, well, that's me. And we've said this so many times on The Party.
Things we diagnose ourselves with.
Yes.
I am such and said.
Yes.
Yes.
Or my Hashimoto's or.
Oh, yes. Take the my out, please.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
No, it's just that, you know, the Hashimoto's that came back in the blood work, which I am walking out from.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. when I had that issue, and I've spoken this before, you know, I took a lot of iodine because I was using myself as guinea pig, and I elevated my thyroid hormones to a dangerous amount, and they pronounced Graves' disease over me, you know, and that's something that you should, that's with you for the rest of the life, they say. It's an autoimmune disease. You know, so for the first couple of weeks, I was like, oh, this Graves' disease, you know, that I have my Graves' disease. And I was like, uh-uh, Pearl,
Graves.
You will never say that again. It's not your Graves' disease. I'm walking out of that. And so I would say, yeah, when I talked to just Serena and Mum, yeah, they said I have Graves' disease. Of course, I'm not accepting that and I'll be free from that.
Exactly. You'd always say, and I'll be free from that. And Pearl, you have to tell the story about the Graves' disease groups.
Yeah, you know, and when I first was diagnosed, I went on the internet because you learn a lot from groups on Facebook. I mean, that's where you obviously Trim Healthy Mama groups, people are all there discussing it and talking, you know, encouraging one another or just consoling one another. And so I went on, I thought, well, I'll learn from the Graves' disease support groups, you know. But I quickly decided I wouldn't go there after a while because there was one thread, fill in the blank, what has Graves taken from you? You know, and so people would say, Graves has taken my energy. Graves has taken my my metabolism. Graves stole my relationship. Graves took my marriage. Graves took my job. And it was just lists and things that people listed and what Graves' disease has taken from them. Now, you could look at that, well, maybe that was true. But I am not speaking that over my life. I am not thinking that over my life. I'm not going to let it take one little darn thing from me.
100% agreed. Now, Remy, my little 2-year-old now, because he was in, it doesn't happen to everybody, but some Nick babies, in the first 3 weeks of life, if they don't get to suck for real and swallow for real and everything's tube fed for a while, they don't
put
get
your
that,
face close to
they don't
girl.
Get that important suck, swallow learning in the first 3 weeks in life, which is so important for them neurologically to get that swallow. There's so many stages to swallowing and to get it all timed right. So he has he's walking out of them. There's some issues with swallowing water, right?
Yeah, he's getting but so he's much doing
better.
So great
so much better. But I looked up on the internet too, you know, and it can also be anything too thin, you know, and so you have to feed and anything chunky. You have to feed kind of just smooth stuff for a while.
Yes.
And he's amazing now. He chews on meat and everything. Mm-hmm. But in that season, I looked up on the internet support groups too. I tell you what, I was so depressed and crying at the end of an hour of that research because it was like, oh, my life is so hard. I have to blend everything up for my child. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I love smoothies. I basically live on them myself. Like my yuck yum. Like this isn't that bad, is it? It's like, my life is so terrible. And I'm thinking to myself, what about the mothers who have to get up every 10 minutes and turn their baby over because they can't even move?
Yeah.
You know, that they can have to turn their 17-year-old over because, you know, I don't know exact muscular dystrophy or whatever it is. Just because you have to feed them yogurt and mashed potatoes, who cares? Your life is great. And so I decided to myself, this is a depressing place, just like you with the Graves. And so let's not go to these depressing places. Let's not put these depressing labels over us. Let's walk out.
Absolutely.
And even if we don't actually walk out, we walk out of the depression of it and we be there with the joy.
We be there with the joy, and then joy strengthens your body.
Yes.
Joy itself, the joy of the Lord is my strength, the Bible says. Yes. And I believe that and I quote that over myself. And you know, with that grave disease, I stopped the iodine, obviously. You can listen to a longer potty of why that happened to me. It won't happen to everyone that takes iodine.
You have to be a Kiwi from New Zealand.
Yeah, I had some issues. But anyway, I walked out of that that grave disease. I'm telling you, I have no symptom. It's supposed to be for life. I experienced nothing of that. But it was a 2-year process, you know. Sometimes even a year later, I would feel the pounding of my heart. That's one of the symptoms. Yeah. I'd go to bed and it would just pump, 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 pump. And I would just like say to myself, heart, you settle down right now.
Yeah.
You just soothe yourself, heart.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I love it.
I just wouldn't accept it.
And how did that work out?
Well, I don't have a pounding heart today, Danny.
Dude.
Yeah, she's perfect.
I mean, I don't have that.
She doesn't have any of the symptoms.
I don't have any of the symptoms.
I have no idea what Graves is. It sounds serious.
Well, the doctors wanted to take her whole thyroid out and do crazy stuff and have a needles put in for biopsies.
No, I'm not saying. Some people have genetic, there's different reasons for Graves, you know, but once you have it, you know, it can keep. There's, you know, they say it's something you'll
but
have.
Who's but they anyway?
Did
you know
someone
they?
With
they
the last,
God? No.
Did someone with the last name Grave discover it? Or are they calling it Graves to terrify
no,
you?
No, it's G-R. I don't even know
it
how
is
you
A-V-E-S.
Spell it. It's just it's a hyperthyroid caused by an immune situation.
Okay.
But yeah, there's so many symptoms. I had swelling in my right leg. I mean, I had all these things. There were many of them. And even a year later, some of them would still be there. And I just wouldn't let that take over my life.
So I have a question. As the body grows and matures, I feel like, you know, I'm 37 now, and I feel like I remember at age 30 some different stuff.
Yeah.
And at that time, I thought, I have something now. But I realized, you know what? It was kind of more of a growth phase, a growth pain, and now some of those things are gone. New things are here.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure there's new stuff on the way. And I'm just curious, is that a normal part of life?
Yeah, our mother always says.
Yes, that's Serena, just about to say it. You say it, Pearlie.
This is how she's lived her life. And she is a 78-year-old, I think in May, who is in robust health.
So you know, my mom. Saying almost 80.
No,
she 78, won the, she's almost 80.
She won the hilltop race.
Oh, my mother. She just can, she can work Serena
and I. Can I just tell you something? She still speaks all over the country. She gets up at 4 because she runs this big ministry, right? Anyway, she just came back from Europe.
Yeah.
Talking about 6 sessions a day with
an interpreter.
right? And then guess what? She comes home so late in the morning, in the night with jet lag, and then the next day she goes to American
convention straight away. I mean, if that were me, I'd be like, I'm too tired.
Oh, I got tired on the way here.
She is a strong person genetically, but it's in her mind. It's the way she thinks. She always says to me, Pearlie, things come and things go. And like you're saying, Danny, she's like, she gets symptoms like the rest of us, but she's only been to the hospital a few times in her life, and that's only when our dad makes her go. Because then it's real serious. She needs to get something taken care of, like something got infected or, I mean, one time she had a hernia. She got that taken care of.
Yeah, she'd had it since a newborn,
Yeah, but pearly things come and things go. She'll get little things, but she won't let them overtake her life. She's like, oh, this will be gone soon.
Sometimes I'll walk into the office because that's where she just basically lives her life. Even though she's got children and grandchildren running everywhere, they're all in her office. Like, they're all in her life. She doesn't let her work overpower family. Family comes first, but she's always busy, always working.
Oh, yeah.
I'll walk in and she'll have a smile on her face, but I'll just see she looks run down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, how are you feeling, Mum? Great.
Yeah.
But you look a little tired. No, I haven't had time to stop to think that I'm tired. Like, she just doesn't dwell on her, or she doesn't get in touch with her body too much.
No.
Now, there's a balance to
there
that.
There is a balance to that too. And we're not saying you can never have a grave a disease. Like, Serene's walked through Arden, who had stage 4 cancer. We're not pretending this world is just butterflies and roses.
Stuff's
and
real. That's
you don't listen to everything you say, right? Because you do sometimes. Like, we appreciate the doctors and what they've done for Arden.
Yes.
We believe that God has been over that. Mm-hmm. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we've done alternative measures for him too. Now, so we're happy for doctors this far forward. But now there's coming a point where they're just wanting to do stuff just because it might come back, just because we may not have gotten everything, just because blah, blah, blah. And they want to do some stem cell, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the details because I've kind of stayed out of the doctor's side and let Arden and his lovely wife deal with that, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But Arden was telling me how they wanted to do this big stem cell thing and take them out and put them all back in. It's quite invasive and it's quite extensive. And they're like, and there could be a chance that you'll get another kind of cancer in 10 years, but we'd like to just make sure we've taken care of this cancer. He's like, well, how about we not? And how about if it came back in 10 years, we just do it then?
Right.
And they're like, they didn't have an answer for him. But basically, they wanted to do it now, which would be crazy. So the point being is, you don't listen to everything.
What's the whole point of this party?
The whole point of this party is be proactive, do your duty, don't run from doctors and hospitals, but don't also believe everything they say. Don't be labeled. Don't believe labels you put over yourself. Don't believe labels the doctors put over you. Mm-hmm. Don't believe labels that your friends put over you or your past puts over you.
Right, and don't be bowed down under all these labels. I mean, don't stand up and say, hey, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hey, yeah.
Yes, you go, Danny. You go, Danny.
May I?
You must.
Well, all this reminds me of a story. You asked what the point of the podcast is. A point I'm really feeling, too, is how no matter what happens, comes your way, sickness, setbacks, where is your mindset in your move forward plan? I had a friend whose dad had a stroke.
Oh, yeah.
And he was basically in a wheelchair for life, right? And the dad kind of became a miserable person and was fussy and get me this, and if you don't, I'm in a wheelchair. You know, it was kind of like the identity. He was the wheelchair guy, and he had rights, you know, and people needed to know that he was weak and don't you love me? And it was a lot of deep stuff.
Yeah.
And they went to a doctor finally, and the doctor said, take his wheelchair from him. This is a guy who had a stroke and was in a wheelchair with like a soft cushion because he was in it all the time and like a proper pro wheelchair.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, take his wheelchair. And they're like, well, how's he going to get around the house? He may not for a while. He may be hungry sometimes because he doesn't have his wheelchair.
Oh, but then he'd be so grateful for his wheelchair. Was that the idea?
This man is walking today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because the kind of
took
we celebrate.
His wheelchair, and he had to go to the bathroom, and he had to go get food.
I get you.
And his family helped him, and they worked through that. And I'm not, obviously, the balance, right?
Yeah.
I'm picturing the emails coming in, you know, like, but we have a situation. Well, we don't know all of your situations.
No, we don't.
You may, but don't write off that sometimes you need to lose the thing, the identity, the thing that's even like all the MDs have even said it, and all the weight of how could you, you know, is all there.
It becomes your precious.
Yeah, it can become your precious. So maybe you haven't had a stroke and you're in a wheelchair. Whatever it is that you're walking through that has come into your life, like the girl's mom says, you know, maybe it's not here forever.
Yeah.
You know, what if you could get up and walk out of that wheelchair?
What if you could? And I would like to say one thing to Danny, that was so good. We've got to do our duty, and we have to, you know, we're going to eat Trim Healthy Mama meals instead of McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get up and get moving and not be sedentary and sit down on the couch. And we're going to think positively and speak life into our bodies. But let's not look under the hood too much.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that because we were talking about testing.
Yeah.
You know, and these days it's like the hippest thing to go be a proactive tester, get every like DNA test you jolly well can.
Yeah.
And I'm into testing hormones maybe if you can't lose weight, no matter what you do. Let's get your hormones checked. Yeah. Maybe we can do something. But man, these days even ads on TV, go get your, go test your, send away your stool for colon cancer. And then then the tiny little words at the end, this is not indicative for people at risk of colon cancer. Right. It's so weird. It's a money-making scheme. Yeah. And then all the, you know, all the genetic DNA testing.
It's for people
testing.
Who actually don't have cancer.
I know.
To buy a product.
Yes. The other day I was at the dentist and they said, so now we're going to do your oral cancer screening. And I said, what? She said, now we're going to test for your oral cancer. I said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
What, you're not going to test me for oral cancer.
You don't chew no dip.
Oral cancer. You want your $260 or whatever it is. I didn't say that, but that's what they want.
No doubt.
I'm not at risk for oral cancer. I don't want that fear for 5 minutes waiting for the results to come back. I don't want any of that over my life.
Yeah.
Don't have it in my family. I don't have it.
Yeah. You know what? I almost feel like the ER is sometimes the best bet because, you know, they're not incentivized. They don't make extra money with tests. They don't. It's
well,
not
unless
their
you get
business.
Doctors like Serena.
Yeah, idiot. Yeah. And Solace, brother moron.
Yeah, but
don't worry. There's great doctors out there.
There are
that
great
are, like,
doctors
amazing.
At ERs, no, there and I've are, had them.
But I feel like for the most part, the ER doctors seem like they're not personally attached to you doing certain things and not doing certain things. They're like, we're just going to save you. And
unless they think you're squalor.
Oh, and then you're dirty
alien
and you're labeled.
Squalor. But, you know, and then. I was reading some stuff from, what was it, Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's that magnesium doctor. Have you ever read any of stuff from her, Serene?
Love it.
And aren't we also pro-doctor? Can we say for the record how great
That's a good doctor.
Because it could sound like we're the anti-vaccine and the anti-doctor, like a bunch of hillbillies. And
no, that's crazy because that's when you can end up letting your own family die around you.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's
and we got extreme. Those stories too.
But I was reading stuff from Dr. Carolyn Dean and she, those of you who are into magnesium, I've been really studying magnesium lately. Yes. And I think we should do a podcast on it soon sometime. But she was saying all of this latest invasive it's not really invasive. It's called proactive, and it's a very hip thing to do with the anti-aging community, or people just want to find out more about themselves. They genetically test what are they at risk for? Yeah. You know, what sort of immune disorders do you have? Or what are things wrong with your body so you could have a high risk of that? Yeah. And she's like, first of all, it sets down fear. Second of all, doesn't mean you're going to get that just because you have that DNA little...
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I mean, just because it's a
just
you're
because
made,
you have the propensity.
Yeah, just,
right.
just because that test said it doesn't mean you're going to get that.
Wow.
And so you don't have to live your life waiting for that to happen.
Yes.
You live your life in the healthiest way you can. You eat right. You take some good healthy supplements because God put the power of some of his healing in the herbs of the field.
That's right.
You do it right, but you don't just sit there and wait, I'm actually at a high risk for that. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do?
It's so true. And you know what happens when you think? You can think yourself right into stuff. Like I used to have panic attacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I actually had reasons to have panic attacks. I had adrenal fatigue, but I now wore the label. Mm. But then I decided that I wasn't going to wear the label, and I walked out of it with the mind of Christ, you know, with just speaking life and saying no. But the funny thing is, to this day, I've learned how to have a panic attack. I could do one right now.
Could you break into a panic attack?
My throat could start closing. I could get the hives all over. I could do it, Danny. I got it down, man. Why? Because I know how to do it.
You've
you
got
just
a PhD
work yourself into it. You
in
just
panic
work
attacks.
Yourself into it in your mind. You get a little bit more dithery, a little bit more worried, a little bit more worried, and you think about this and you get introspective and start thinking about, that fuzzy feeling in the back of my throat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it's closing. Oh, I feel it clamping down. Ooh, you know, like you can start
and,
it.
And not only that, but this is my thing. I'm going back into my thing, right?
And I don't have adrenal fatigue now, but I could do one right now. It doesn't mean even if you have it or you don't have it, sometimes it's just your headspace. It leads me to another thing I want to talk about.
You actually learned the skill.
Skill of panic attack.
Of destroying yourself.
And some people have a real skill. Getting their labels to come to pass.
I told you guys these rabbit trails were leading to the rabbit house of gold.
Well, this is a rabbit house now. You may not, you may have something, have an issue, and not experience anything negative because of it, right?
Right.
And so, and it's hip and trendy to start looking at the hood that under the hood that everyone's looking under. Now, with my baby Remy, you know, he had eating issues, like I said, because of the tube feeding and everything. For him, it seemed to affect him. He was having issues, so he was skinny as a baby, and I started looking under the hood, and I thought, oh, it's tied tongue, and it's very trendy. It was very trendy to check for tied tongue. Tied tongue was the problem for every baby if they were slightly skinny. It was tied tongue. And then if it wasn't tied tongue, it was a posterior tied tongue. It was the tied tongue you couldn't see. It was the tied tongue that only specialty doctors could see. Right. It was a tied tongue that every doctor was missing. And then it was the tied frenulum of the upper lip and then the lower lip. And it was all, that's the problem. So I flew to New York and I did the whole deal and I got it lasered, you know, his frenulum above his lip and under his lip and under his tongue. And his was the one you couldn't see, but only he could see, right?
Yes.
And then after I got that surgery, it was so sad. You have to stretch those sores open so that they heal open and not heal with more scar tissue. It was the worst. I just would cry every time I did it. But you know what? So I couldn't even see a tied tongue at the beginning, right? And neither could my lactation consultant at the hospital. Nobody could see it. It was just this one particular doctor. And I went through all the surgery, blah, 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 blah. It didn't help him at all. That was not his issue. But Solly Dolly is getting fatter by the day.
Yeah.
Her tongue I can see is tight.
Oh, she's tight.
Yeah. And remember that baby who was president of the fat club?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like so fat. It was like when Remy was skinny.
Yeah.
And right, Nick, we went to a baby shower and there was this big baby, same
Wait
age,
a minute.
4 months.
He beat
Jamie's baby, Danny.
Oh, Jamie. I know this kid.
Yeah, oh, he was president.
Looks like his grandpa.
He was so fat. And Serene said to me, she was at the party with Remedy, who was skinny at the time. She said, I feel like every woman's looking at me thinking, that girl got water for milk in her
boobs.
Hold on,
did he beat
Emery? No, Emery wasn't born yet. Emery, Vanjie's granddaughter.
Yes,
she's from a different
Rashida's
planet. Yeah.
Baby, that's what I was trying to think of.
But anyway, all I'm saying is, and our brother, Rocky, had a tied tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He even had it so tight he had to learn to speak his own little way.
He
speaks normal. But anyway, he was a huge baby, fat. And then Haven, when she went to get checked out for something, they said, I don't even know how she talks. Her tongue is so tight.
Oh.
Right? But she had no trouble getting rolls on her thighs.
No.
So my point being is, you may even have something, but it doesn't mean you need to even suffer any of the symptoms.
Or that it's your thing for life. Or,
So
you know what I
look
did?
Look under the hood, get the testing, and it may not even help. You may have it, and it may not even help you.
So. I got so tired of having a problem with dairy. That's right. Shoving milk in my gut.
Yeah, right.
And saying, get used to it, gut. And it's like, I can drink milk now.
Yeah, I love it.
Kefir did help you, though, with it.
We have to. Yeah, that good balance. Yeah, I did maybe wean up with kefir, right?
Hey, should we... it's 42 minutes. We got to do the spotlight on the food.
I know, but
I
wanted to say balance is beautiful, isn't it, right?
Isn't it?
So it's the balance between completely saying dairy is evil and I'll never have a drop of it again.
Yeah.
And it's the balance between shoving it down your gullet even though you've got red spots coming out.
Well, I just got mad, you know. I just was like, I'm like, tired of this life.
Yes, exactly. It's like, do your duty when you have to, but don't say it's for life. And don't, you know... Oh, Solly said everyone's sick of it all.
Solly's done with
She's
announced the end of this podcast.
Trim Healthy Mama. Superfood. Spotlight.
Okay, so today I wanted to spotlight oats because, Serene, you've been out for a week or so.
More than a week.
Remember when I shared that sweatpants oatmeal and you're like, Pearl, that's no one's ever going to do this. You're making it the most complicated thing in the world. Well, oh my goodness, thousands are making my sweatpants oatmeal and it's the best oatmeal I've ever had.
Do you know what? When I was sick with the flu, let me just tell you.
I should have taken you some, but I didn't want your filthiness.
All I was dreaming about was your sweatpants oatmeal. I couldn't even remember that cool name. But I was thinking, I was thinking about those drizzly coconut oil droplets on top.
It's so amazing, Serene. Like, you know me, I love my eggs, and now I have to force myself to eat my eggs for breakfast because my sweatpants, they just do it for me.
I want to come over on Saturday.
I'll show you. Well, we're going to make it tomorrow for a vid.
Oh, good.
But I wanted to talk about, since you all, so many of you are eating it, and listen, if you don't have to, it's not part of a Trim Healthy Mama must do, but it's so awesome. I was going to say all that is, I want you to know what's happening to your body.
Yes.
When you're eating oats, why do this, yes. right? So oats are so fantastic because they contain beta-glucans. Mm-hmm. And beta-glucans is the fiber in oats. And it is so fantastic at steadying your blood sugar of yes. all the grains.
It's soluble fiber.
Yes.
And what it does is it swells with the water and makes mm-hmm. kind of a gel, right, Pearl?
In your stomach to keep you full. And that's why I can go to lunch with this oatmeal. Usually oatmeal yeah. makes me so hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but because we add the extra fluid in this particular recipe of sweatpants
and
oatmeal.
And most people add the sugars and the sweeteners yeah. that quicken the desire to eat more.
Yeah, you know those little instant oat packets, and they've got the little sugar and cinnamon, and I used to love them, right? But I would be so hungry half an hour later. Yeah. And it doesn't give you a big enough bowlful. But oats, what else are they good for, Serene?
Oats, they are so high, like not only in the fiber, like we said, but they're high in protein.
Yeah, I know.
More than other grains. But you know what's awesome about them? They're rich in antioxidants,
yes.
including one called avenothermites. Now, avenothermites.
Thank you for talking about that, because I was going to say that and I didn't know how to
They lower
it.
Blood pressure. And what happens is they dilate the blood vessels because of the production of nitric oxide. And so they're absolutely amazing. And do you know what else? They're anti-inflammatory. The avenothermites, they cause an anti-inflammatory effect on your body. And it's so interesting because what happens when you have hives? Getting a bath of
oatmeal.
You mean like standard oats from the bucket?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so
Quaker oats.
Everyone knows that if you've got hives or skin issues, get an oatmeal. It's the same thing it does internally in your body, Danny. It heals your gut too.
You know what? Could I say something
yes,
about
you
oatmeal?
May. Yes.
I love how with oatmeal, first of all, it's so cheap.
I know,
okay?
right?
There's no fanfare.
None.
Right? There's
so
not.
So humble.
I mean, it's the same Quaker oats box or whatever your brand, your mm-hmm. Kroger brand, your whatever brand. It's the same shape. It's the same thing that it's been. Literally.
That your great granddaddy ate in the Depression.
Yeah.
I know. I love that. It feels like you're eating a piece of history.
You are. It's the common man's food. You can fill up families with this stuff for a dollar.
Oh,
please continue.
I
love
it.
It's humble, but it's so full of these amazing antioxidants that scientists are just like coming to realize is in the humble oat, right? So we talked about the avenothermites. Now, it also is rich in ferulic acid. Mm-hmm. Ferulic acid is another antioxidant found in large amounts in the humble oats.
And
isn't that awesome?
Let's talk about what it does for breastfeeding mums.
Oh, yes, Pearl. I don't know what the mystery and magic is. I thought it was the beta-glucans, but we're finding out now that it may be something else that causes an ample supply of milk.
Yes, oats are incredible for increasing milk production. So if you're a nursing mama, oats every day.
Nice.
Yes, and but the beta-glucans, getting back to that incredible soluble rich fiber, it increases the growth of good bacteria in your gut. So it's like a
heals your
prebiotic.
Gut,
whoa.
You know, it sets the stage. It gets the environment of your colon all ready to receive the
probiotics. And it just soothes you. You know, I eat that, my sweatpants oatmeal is such a big bowl, right? And you think when it goes in there, you think, well, that's going to bloat me because that's such a voluminous amount of food.
Right.
But it doesn't go in there. And I'm a weird person that I try not to do this, but in the morning I can. I look at my stomach to see how far it's sticking out, right? Just out of interest and curiosity.
To check what you
can
eat for the day.
You have to in the morning because we have a rule. You don't check after lunch.
You don't check after lunch, and at night you don't check because that's just a whole bunch of food in your stomach.
That's unfair.
But in the morning I check. You know, so after my breakfast I check.
I wake.
Okay, so how much did that explode and bloat my stomach?
None.
Zero.
Nice.
It just soothes those intestinal linings. And it doesn't like cause a big volcano explosion of air.
No, it doesn't.
That's good.
And can I? That's good. Danny says because Danny is concerned about the bloat.
Yeah, oh, I know.
When we talk bloat, Danny's ears perky.
Yeah,
the volcanic explosions of air, not with the oatmeal.
Man,
but you know what I love? Oatmeal in the morning, Pearl's Way, which I'm yet to try,
and I'm going to go
do
a quick recap.
But I can sense that it's an experience.
Oh,
that it lasts more than just the shove down a piece of toast.
It is absolutely the whole experience of it. It's like going and doing coffee at a coffee bar. It's the whole, it's not just the eating of it, it's the smelling of it, it's the soothing of it. Okay, now for any of you who haven't tried it, I'm going to give the quickest version
possible.
But first,
just before you do, I just want to say, we talked about how that soluble fiber swells and calls a gel, you know, and it makes you satiated. That's why it helps with losing weight too, because it makes you satiated. So you're not like a grazing grace every half an hour from breakfast till lunch. But it also, the other reason it helps with weight issues is because it improves your insulin sensitivity.
Exactly.
It actually lowers your blood sugar levels. It's the bomb.
Oats do.
Yes.
Oats. Danny. So you haven't done the oats for breakfast yet. It might become another of your sweatpants meals.
No, you know what? We used to do oats like way too much.
When you were poor, right?
We've just gone off the oats. No, it wasn't a money thing. It was an ease thing.
Oh, right.
They're so easy.
I love a big pot for a big fan.
We used to do it because we couldn't afford anything else. But now I do it just because I love
it. I used to tell my children, I was raised on oats too. You have to have your time.
Danny's crying poor because he wants everybody to tell us to buy him a blender. He did his video on the chocolate.
Why can't a man get a blender?
Butter. And he's like, oh, yeah, all I have is this.
I work for the greatest food company to ever hit planet Earth, and I
Do you want to see my blender, Danny?
Finally.
Do you want to see my blender? My blender is shattered to smithereens, and I have to time just how many seconds I blend my trimmy before it all falls out so I get at least a bit in my cup.
Yeah, but poor Serene, you want to buy her a blender, Danny?
Well, you know, we need to get in the blender business because then everybody can have a nice shiny blender.
I know, right. Hey, sweatpants oatmeal. Half a cup of oatmeal in a small pot. Put one cup of water and half a cup of nut milk. I use unsweetened cashew.
Collagen, please?
Oh, because well, she's Tajay. She ain't Walmart. It's cashew, not almond.
No, I can do almond, Serene. I just prefer my cashew.
I know, it just sounds more gourmet.
Don't hold it against me. What did you say, Danny?
Cashew is the exotic of nut milks.
It is. It was so the Tajay.
I just find it more creamy.
I was just saying, you know, I guess whatever the simple recipe is the base. But then you want to throw collagen,
absolutely,
baobab.
Absolute collagen and baobab are awesome.
Oh, yum.
I love those two on everything.
But this is the simple
everything.
One. Yes. You love your special ingredients, Dan. Yeah, some people are against them.
That's true. Okay, fair.
Okay, and then turn it to high, get it to boil. Let it boil and then to medium for about 3 minutes. Now, this is when the ease comes in because I hate standing over a stove. Take it off. Don't cover it. Take it off the heat. Go do something. Go brush your teeth, make your bed, or get ready for the day. Take your shower. I don't care. 10 to 15 minutes later, you come back, it's swollen, it's big, it's soft, but it's not watery.
Ooh.
It's gooped together, and I actually put 12 raisins in it while it's cooking, but you don't have to.
Can you choose another word other than gooped?
Did I say gooped in a good way?
I don't know. Goop just derailed me.
Thanks for bringing it up. I said it's gooped?
Yeah.
Yeah, gooped.
This is how we write the books, guys.
It's congealed in a glorious way.
No, congealed is like bread, blood pudding
it's
from
creamy.
Scotland.
It is creamed up.
It's creamified?
Creamified.
Can we do that?
Yeah, it's creamified in a wonderfully
gooped
way.
Can you all send in a word? It's for a world.
Anyway, so then, now comes the magic, people. Generous pinch of salt, and I mean generous.
No, that's
then 2 teaspoons of gentle sweet. This creates a caramel effect. Pour cinnamon generously over that.
We're talking about cake in a bowl at this point.
You totally are.
I mean,
vanilla?
It's really good.
No, but you can. You can do caramel extract vanilla. I don't because I'm simple. Now, quarter cup, two to three to four tablespoons of water, whatever you want. Yeah. It's hot water.
It's boil.
I'd get my taps very hot, Serene, because we got a new house and there. You have
and
hot
don't worry,
water
we have water that comes out of the spring, so it's not city type water.
No. Yeah, but just stop making it more complicated for people. I just said water, hot water.
Yeah, you goop girl. Keep going.
Yeah. With half a teaspoon of coconut oil, stir that. Now you pour that over this wonderful oatmeal with this topping. Don't stir it in. Okay. Each glorious succulent.
I wish this was videoed because when
teaspoon
she said don't
of
stir
fluid.
It, she got violent.
My thumbs are,
her head
you
was
don't
shaking.
Stir it in, Danny. You let it sit on your glorious gooped oatmeal.
Stop it.
And you just take a spoonful and let a little bit of liquid and a little bit of oats.
And a little bit of the oil droplet.
Yes.
Oh, see, that's where I'm sold.
Anyway, that's the end of our podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over.
See you next week. Jim, Matthew, Mom.